Shalom, everyone. I hope you are having a nice day, and I'm happy to bring you this week's mini video shiur on Parshat HaShavuah. I wanted to touch base on a fascinating debate about what happened at the Yam Suf when the Jews were about to cross the sea, and I'd like to relate it briefly at the end to the elections that took place in Israel this past week. So first of all, one of my favorite things is to discover dueling midrashim, a midrashim that seem to give us opposite ways of looking or considering a certain situation. It really gives us a lot to think about. And there are such dueling midrashim. It's actually one long midrash that have two very different opinions as to what happened when the Jews were getting ready to cross the sea. Of course, you remember in front of them was the sea. Behind them, the Egyptians were bearing down and they had nowhere to go. And the Midrash in the Mechilta, the beginning of it says as follows, Rabbi Meir Omer B'Lashon Echad. Rabbi Meir has one understanding of what happened. Kishamdu Shvatim Al Hayam, Zeh Omer Ani Yorei Tchila. Zeh Omer Ani Yorei Tchila. The Jews were so full of faith that God was going to save them that the Shvatim, the tribes, were actually arguing with each other as to who was going to go down into the sea first. Right? Isn't that amazing? They have the sea in front of them, the Egyptians behind them, And the sea hasn't split yet, and they're fighting with each other as to who's going to go first. It shows an amazing amount of faith, one could argue. The second part of the Midrash is in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, B'lashon Acher, he has a different narrative, a totally different story, right? The first story of Rabbi Meir's opinion is that they were fighting. The Shvatim were saying, I want to go first. No, I want to go first. They were debating as to who was going to take that leap of faith first. Rabbi Yehuda says, that's not what happened at all. Kevan shamdu shvatim al hayam, ze omer ein ani yorei tchila. Isn't that amazing? They stand there and one says, hey, I'm not going. Another shevet says, ein ani yorei tchila leyam. I'm not going either first. They did not have that much faith, and they were afraid, and they were not willing to be the first one to go. Finally, what happened? Kafatz Nachshon ben Aminadav v'nafal hayam. Nachshon ben Aminadab jumped up and fell into the sea, and then we know the sea, of course, split, and Bnei Yisrael went through. So on one level, we could look at these two midrashim and think about different levels of faith and different approaches to belief. But I think there's something more at stake here. I want to share with you a thought in analysis of these midrashim. From Rabbi Cheskel Kofeld. Rabbi Cheskel Kofeld is a rabbi at Yeshiva Birkat Moshe Male Adumim, a Hezder Yeshiva in Israel, a wonderful yeshiva whose Rosh Yeshiva is Rav Nochem Rabinovich. And Rav Kofeld has a beautiful analysis of the Midrash. He notes that the psukim that try to make the point in the first Midrash are taken from Tehillim Samach Chet, chapter 68 in Tehillim. And the verses that try to make the point of the second midrash, where the Shvatim did not want to enter into the sea, are taken from Tehillim Samach Tet 69. And he notes, this is fascinating, he notes that the tone and the mood of each of those chapters of Tehillim are opposites. Just like the midrashim are opposites, the mood or the tone in these chapters of Tehillim are opposites. What is the mood and tone in the first chapter of Tehillim, which is connected to the first Midrash, chapter Tehillim Samach Chet, 68? It's upbeat, optimistic, a sense of knowing that God is going to save the day. Yakum Elohim Yafutsu Ayvav V'yanusu Misanav Mipanav. God will arise, his enemies shall be scattered, his foes shall flee before him. And then another part of the Pasuk says, Ilzu lifanav, exult in his presence. Aviyatomim v'dayan almanot. God is the father of orphans and the champion of widows. God takes care of business. God always does it. He's going to do it again. Absolute knowledge. This is maybe even goes beyond faith that they know that God is going to save them. That's the mood that's expressed in Samachet, and that's a mood which makes perfect sense in relation to the first midrash. Why are the Shvatim arguing with one another as to who's going to participate first in the salvation? Because they know as soon as they jump in, everything's going to be okay. They know that God is not going to let anything happen to them. They have absolute faith. Maybe they're basing it on what happened to them before with being taken out of Mitzrayim and the plagues that were brought on the Mitzrim. Whatever the reason is, they know that they are going to be saved. And so they will all want a piece of the action. They all are going to jump in. However, Rav Kofeld points out that the mood or the tone in the next chapter of Tehillim, Samach Tet, is the opposite. Hoshi'eni Elohim, kivo'u mayim ad nefesh. Deliver me, O God, for water has reached my neck. I am sinking into the slimy deep. Miyachel Elohai, I wait for God. My eyes fail while I wait for God. My throat is dry from crying. My eyes fail. My throat is dry from crying so much. My eyes fail from crying so much while I wait for God. There's not a sense of certainty in that chapter at all. There's a great sense of doubt. We're waiting for God. We're sort of looking for him to turn up and to save us, and we don't know what's going to happen. And so what happens in that midrash? Well, most of the people say, hey, I can't have anything to do with this. I can't be the first one because I don't know if I'm going to be successful or not. I don't know if this is going to be a worthwhile endeavor. Comes along Nachshon ben Aminadab from the tribe of Yehuda, and he jumps in first. And the Midrash tells us that it's because of this that the tribe of Yehuda was given the great privilege from having the Malchei Yisrael, the kings of Israel, the monarchy, come from them. Because who is a real leader? Perhaps the Midrash is trying to tell us. Who deserves to have the Melucha come from them? Not the one who, when they know everything is going to be okay, steps in and says, here I am. But the real leader is the one who, when they don't know if everything is going to be okay, when there's uncertainty, that person shows faith, that person shows leadership. Well, then that's the person who deserves to be the melech. That's the person deserves who's to be the king. And it's from that person's shevet, from Nachshon ben Aminadav of Shevet Yehuda, it's from his shevet that we are given our monarchy, our kingship, the Malchut Beit David, the kingship of the house of David. When I think about the elections, I think about the second half of the Midrash. I'm not going to talk about which party is better, which party is worse, who the prime minister should make his coalition with, who the prime minister should not make his coalition with. What I can say is when I think about the elections and I think about the establishment of the state of Israel and I think about all the people who work so, so hard in the face of great difficulty, even today, both external and internal threats and difficulty, I think about Nachshon ben Aminadav. When I think about the founders of the state of Israel, I think that they are an entire group of Nachshons, an entire group of people who looked ahead and, quite frankly, were not sure what was going to happen. Quite frankly, were not sure if their experiment in building the third Jewish Commonwealth was going to be successful or not, whether they're going to be able to stand up to the internal challenges and the external challenges. But they jumped in anyway, and they deserve to be considered to be the leaders of Israel because they were the ones who understood this Midrash. There are two ways to go through life. They taught us, and this Midrash teaches us. One way to go through life is someone who shows faith when one is faced with the type of situation of Tehillim Samachet, when everything is great. That's when we show faith. That's when we show leadership. But when we're faced with a Tehillim Samach Tet situation, a Tehillim 69 situation, well, then it's a lot harder for people to show faith. And that's when the Shvatim argued and said, I'm not going to go. And the other said, I'm not going to go either. It took one leader, Nachshon ben Aminadav. And in the case of the building of the State of Israel and the continuing establishment of the State of Israel, it takes people who have that Nachshon ben Aminadav mindset. The recognition that even when we're looking ahead and we don't know what the future is going to bring, to jump into the sea with faith in God and with faith of the justness of the cause and the ability and faith in themselves that they could do what needs to be done, that is what earns someone the right to be called a leader. And so these two midrashim, the first midrash where everyone wants to jump in, well, that seems to be sort of Johnny-come-lately or individuals when everything is going right. Oh, sure, I think this is a great idea. The second Midrash offers us a much more compelling and powerful model of leadership. And it also recognizes that that's not for everyone. Many, many of the Shvatim said, I don't want to do this. It took one person to show them the way. And that's what I was thinking about this week when I was watching the returns from the elections. As many of you know, I'm still a romantic about the establishment of the State of Israel, and I really, really connect to this notion of the Nachshon ben Aminadav type of faith, of taking matters into your hands, even when you don't know what the outcome is going to be. Such people are the ones who deserve to be considered our leaders. So Shabbat Shalom, and we all have a restful and beautiful Shabbat and an enjoyable Tu B'Shvat. And I hope to see you all at the Tu B'Shvat Seder that's taking place at UOS, Mincha at 5 o'clock on Shabbat, followed by a Tu B'Shvat Seder put on by our wonderful B'nai Akiva Shlichim and B'Not Sherut. I hope to see you all. Shabbat Shalom.